You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Amen. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teachings, this is Jesus speaking, and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Everyone say rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus has finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachings of religious law. So you can see Jesus is saying here, those who build their life on the rock after he was teaching the word. So what is the word of God? The word of God is the rock, the teaching that Jesus was teaching here. So that means the rock is the word of God. Amen. And John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now we know we need to build our life. If we want to overcome obstacles, overcome the storms that are sent our way, and overcome everything in this life, we need to build our life upon the rock, upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. So turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And we all say, amen. Amen. So while I was growing up as a kid, ever since I could remember, every single month, my dad would come to me with pocket money. He would have a few hundred rands, he would have a few rands, and he would have a few cents. And what he would do with me every single month, he would take the money to the pocket money and he would say, okay, here's your pocket money. Now, what is your tithe? And then he would say, what is your offering? So since I could remember, my dad would come to me, we would divide the tithe. Then we would divide the offering. Sometimes I would say, let's give it all. Because just like my parents, I wouldn't even use the pocket money. My parents was demonstrating God that yes, I had money, but my father was the one paying for everything I needed. So praise the Lord, I could receive that revelation through them. But I'm grateful for what they did with me and for me month after month, that it became a solid rock in my life. That I know now today, it's not even a question, should I tithe or should I not tithe? Because when I get money into my bank account, say you give me 100 rand, I have to tithe 10 rand. Why? Because it's become a solid foundation in my life, because there was a man imitating the word of God who built his life upon the rock and the teachings of Jesus Christ, who can impart it into my life and I can impart it into generations to come. As the word says, imitate, Paul was writing, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I'm grateful that there's a man of God who was imitating Christ, Apostle Theo, who then had a spiritual son, Apostle Alan, who was imitating him, and now I get to imitate Apostle Alan. As you can see, Apostle Theo imitating Christ, Apostle Alan imitating Apostle Theo, who's imitating Christ, Pastor Josh imitating Apostle Alan, imitating Apostle Theo, who's imitating Christ. But the only way you can imitate somebody is that they are imitating the word of God. Because if anyone had to go anyway, bad doctrine out of the word of God, then that would make me at fault, and then that would make the generations to come at fault. So just like it was Apostle Theo's job to study the word and the teachings of God, he had encounter and he studied the word. Then Apostle Alan imitating apostle to you. But it was his job to go into the word, to learn the teachings of Jesus Christ for himself. Now I'm imitating my dad of the word that he was imitating from Apostle Theo, but it's my job to go into the teachings of the word of Jesus Christ and make sure, is it true? Is this the word of God? Is this true or false? Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And in that way, by me studying that, I can give sound doctrine for the generations to come in Jesus' name. So I'm so grateful for a man that was obedient to the word of God, that he believed it so much that he would teach his children. So go with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. For I have known him, who Abraham, in order that he may command. Everyone say command. Command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So as you can see, it was not even an option to Abraham. It was a priority to impart into his next generation the word of God. God knew Abraham's generation will serve God because he, who Abraham, will teach him afterwards. So you see, why does a man choose someone like Apostle Theo? Why does God choose someone like Apostle Allen? Because God knows he will teach the generations to come. You can say, that's me too. Joshua 24, verse 15. And it seems evil to you to serve... If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Not we will try serve the Lord. Not it's an option to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Romans 10 verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm so grateful that there was a preacher in my life. I'm so glad that not only a preacher, there was a father who studied the word of God to impart into his children me, so that I can live the life that I'm living today and be successful in the things of God today because there was a man faithful to the word of God. Amen. So say this after me. I am faithful to study the word of God. It is my priority to go into the word and to teach others. Revelations 12 verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. And now I have a living testimony. I don't just have I do it because my parents do it. I do it because I see my mom and dad. I do it because this is how we've always done it. I do it, and not only is it a religious word. Church is not my religious actions that I take on a Sunday. It's now become my supernatural experience that I have every single Sunday. And I don't just come to sit in church in a chair, praise the Lord, hallelujah, great word, go to work and live life exactly the same way, just like everybody else. I have a living testimony that if the devil had to send anything my way, I can overcome that because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of whose testimony? My testimony, because of what I have learned from the word of God, because of what I have been taught. Amen. So how can you teach your kids and stand so firm on the word of God that you teach them how to tithe? I mean, it's a child. Yo, take your 10% and give it to God. How can you believe so firm that this is true? Because you have a man and a woman of God who knows for a fact that the word of God works. that if I pray, will I receive an answer? I don't know. But they know when I pray, my God will answer me because they've seen it for themselves. They've put the principles into place. They've sowed and they have reaped. 30 years of ministry is not an accident. 30 years of ministry happens because you have a man and a woman who have put biblical principles into place and stood firm on them and now are reaping the harvest of that today. So imagine what God can do through your life. Everyone say, my life. Imagine what God can do through your life just with one encounter with the Word, with Jesus Christ. It just takes one encounter. These things don't happen by mistake. So go with me to John chapter 4, verse 1. So Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But you, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty, but those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again, and it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." As you can see, family, that the Word of God can take you far. The Word of God can develop you spiritually, but you need to have a living encounter with the Word Himself. In order for the Word to come alive, before, when I was younger, I would read the Word and I wouldn't understand a thing. But once I had a living encounter with who Jesus is, with who the very Word is, the next time I read the Word, it became alive to me. And it wasn't just water, it wasn't just fresh, it was then living water that never ran out. And I believe it's going to continue until Jesus comes, and I occupy until Jesus comes back, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see, this woman, after this encounter with Jesus, she then left and she told everyone about the Messiah who has come already for the Jews and for everybody, for all of us. And what was different about this woman now, that before, she knew the law, but she didn't know who Jesus was. She knew how to obey the law, but she didn't understand and she didn't know the love behind the law. And once Jesus came, he could explain it to her and say, "Don't worry about that. Worry about, or think about, the living water that I am here to give you." And after that, she went and she told everybody, and many came to hear this message. But what I want to point out to you is that before, she was living a fake life and trying to make things happen, trying to live according to the Word. And after this, I truly believe she had a real encounter with God. And now she's living a real relationship with God. I have the privilege of leading Revelation Youth with my wife, and last term, amen. And last term we had a series called Real or Fake. And a part of the title was, in this world of fake Nikes and fake people, how do you know if you are truly real? How do you know if you are living a true and real life and have a real relationship with God? It's because my life is built upon the word of God. My life is not built upon what my parents told me I need to do. My life is not built upon, because my cell leader told me I need to do that, or because my parents, or because my pastor told me to do that. Because I have a real relationship with God. And because I read the word and I get life from that word. Because family, when a storm hits you, and when a storm comes your way, you can't fake it anymore. I mean, you've even bumped your toe against the corner of the bed and what came out your mouth. You can't fake when a storm comes your way. But if your life is built upon the rock, whatever comes your way, your house will not fall. Your family will stay strong. You will stay strong in Jesus' name. You need the word of God, and you need the word as a foundation of God. My parents taught us how to love not only Jesus. Our parents taught us not only how to love the word of God, but they taught us how to love the bride of Christ, the church. And if anyone had an option to get church hurt, which I didn't even know if that's a real word, who had the option to get church hurt, it would be them. But never once with the people stabbing them in the back, or backsliding against them, or giving them promises and then denying them when they're in another room, or speaking well in front of them but speaking completely badly against to them in another room. If anyone had an option to get church hurt, offended, or leave the church, it would be them. But who's the ones that love the church the most? Who's the ones who stand up for the church the most? It's them. And because of that example of them loving the church, and yes, people spoke bad about me, but I'll forgive them. And yes, someone backstabbed me, but it's okay, come here, I love you. Because of that example, we now get to come to church and sit in these chairs and be a family in this church. And yes, there is such a thing as church hurt, but church didn't hurt you. The people in the church hurt you. And we have a choice to forgive those people. Amen? And walk in love just as Jesus loved. And now, because of their example, there's no better place I would rather be than in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have been taught to imitate my man of God, just as my man of God imitated his man of God, just as his man of God imitated Christ. And because of these things that they have walked in their life, they have a living testimony, and they walk according to the living word of God. You can tell a fake person against a real person. You can tell a fake pastor against a real pastor. Just by the word of God that's being received from you. Amen. And with all of these men of God sitting in the front here, many of them have come to speak in the services. And because I love the word of God, and I love the church, and I love the things of God. So when they come here, many of you don't know, but I watch you like a hawk. I'm like, okay, how does this man tie his shoes? How does this man speak to people? How does this man drink his coffee? Because I need to learn from you. If you are so successful, how did you get to, what's not an accident? You did something to get there, and I need to learn how you got there, so I watch you. Many of you don't know, I'm sorry if it's creepy, but I watch you. And I've seen these people are not fake. This is the real deal. And lessons I have learned is that these men of God, they walk in humility. Just as Jesus walked, they walk in humility. Not my will, Father. If it's possible, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, Father. Your will be done. They walk in humility. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. These men of God, what I've learned from them, there's not one bit of pride in them. Because what got the devil kicked out of heaven? Pride. You know you won't find pride in these men of God. Psalms chapter 25, verse 9. I'm going to go through this quickly. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor of life. Luke 14 verse 11, but whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What I've learned from these men of God is that they are pure in heart. They are constantly checking their hearts if it's right with God in order to bring such a pure gospel to us, in order to represent such a pure God. Psalm chapter 24 verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not rested upon his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitful, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and the righteous from the God of his salvation. What I've learned from these men of God is that they are generous. The things that you see of them being so successful in their life, it's not an accident. They gave when we did not see them giving. Now they receive and we get to see them receiving. What a blessing it is to be part of their reward in Jesus' name. What I've learned from these men of God is that they are full of unwavering faith. When you speak to a man of God, there's not one bit of doubt that will ever come out of their mouth, because they know God was with me in the pit. God was with me in the prison. He's with me now and will continue to be with me in Jesus' name. Having your wife healed and almost dying, but yet is healed and standing here today, can speak on Thursday. You know that there's a living God in Jesus' name. To get yourself out of debt, how many times, I don't know. You have to know that there's a living God, that His word works in Jesus' name. And my final point is that their love for Jesus has overcome their hearts, that no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Not what I want, not what my desires are, but only yours alone, Jesus. Now I want to close with this example. Please, I ask volunteers, can you please come to the front for me and stand to the side over here? I need you to be quick because we're running out of time. Thank you very much. I ask volunteers because in case I ask people and they didn't say yes, I would get embarrassed, but thank you very much. So I need 9 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I need 3 more. Can Michaela, Vota, and Brittany please come? Give a hand for my siblings. Okay. Brittany and Vota. Well, Vota, you go there, Brittany. Vota, please come here. Stand at the top. So, we are called to build our life on the solid foundation, which is the Word of God. And if my life is built on the Word of God, it's built on the rock. Any storm sent my way, I will be able to stand firm and I won't be taken out by the storm. So, because Vota is standing firm on the Word of God, he as an individual will not be taken out. Then Vota, because God said, man shall not be, it's not good for man to be alone, he gets Brittany and he gets his beautiful wife and they get married. So then, because Vota as an individual, Brittany as an individual, is studying the Word of God, their life is solid on a firm foundation, they're not taken out. That means their marriage is on a firm foundation, which is the Word of God. Amen? And their marriage will not be taken out because of only the Word of God. Then they had children, Nikki, Robin, and Aaron. Please come here. Yo, I think I want to take this one home. Please stand. Come stand, yeah. So now they have children, right? And because as individuals they're studying the Word of God, they won't be taken out. Now they impart that into their children, which creates the family, and the family won't be taken out because the family is built on the Word of God. And now please, can the rest come and stand in the front here with me? And what happens after the children? That means the children then go in and we create the community. And because the individuals are built on the Word of God, they will not be taken out. It goes into their family, their children. Their family will not be taken out because it's built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, the Word. And because the family is built upon the solid foundation of the Word, Jesus Christ, that means the community, that is every single one of us, are built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And I decree and I declare that our community will be saved, will be blessed. This generation will know how to serve Jesus because we are built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And South Africa will know who Jesus is because our life is firm on the solid rock.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.